Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth. Not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
This is a bonus broadcast this week, just a short conversation. There is a video version of this. That YouTube link is in the description box of the show. Someone that I have known for years and really come to admire is Sarah Levin. She's been on the front lines of state-church separation since I've known her, and she's part of a new endeavor that I think is important and I really want to talk about. Sarah Levin, so good to see you, my friend. You doing okay?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
You guys have a major thing happening. First of all, tell me about the organization itself, if you would.
Absolutely. Secular Democrats of America is a network of Democrats advocating for inclusion of non-religious Americans and mobilizing to protect our secular democracy. We organize to protect religious freedom for people of all faiths and none, and defend the constitutional separation of religion and government. So it's essentially, it's an organization that's really giving voice to non-religious Democrats and Democrats who feel very strongly about keeping church and state separate.
I can already see the comment sections. I get in trouble. People are like, how come you're talking about politics? Like, I love what you do when you're talking religion, Seth, but when you get into politics, that's when you lose me. And I'm thinking, how can you look at the infection of the evangelical right into the Republican Party, into the halls of Congress, into the White House, and not see the difference? Even if you're not a Democrat, say you're an independent libertarian Green Party, I don't give a shit. Let's say you're whatever, even a moderate Republican, how do you not look at what the Republican Party is doing to betray the Constitution and not want to talk about it in terms of religion? You've seen this in your own activism, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very difficult to look at this administration and not see that essentially Trump has given the keys over to Christian nationalists, and they've gotten a lot done. They've done a lot of damage to the separation of church and state. And it's a pretty obvious choice when you look at who's on the ballot presidentially, who is going to further religious freedom for people of all faiths and none, and who is going to continue to undermine the constitutional separation of church and state, and frankly, promote Christian supremacy, although under the guise of, you know, euphemisms like Judeo-Christian values, or just kind of general Americanism, right? This notion that being American has something to do with being Christian rather than the melting pot that our founding fathers not only envisioned, but also made sure of with the first line of our First Amendment, which includes the Establishment Clause that gives us the freedom of and freedom from religion.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Sarah. Like, I look at Biden and I'm, you know, meh. You know, he wasn't my guy. I do like Kamala Harris, but, you know, she wasn't my pick. And I look and I think, okay, fine. But really, I'm voting for, at this point, who's going to replace RGB in the Supreme Court, right? I'm right. voting for who's going to be the next Secretary of Education, because DeVos, she's pitching her faith, her evangelical faith, preferring religious schools on taxpayer dollars. You got Rick Perry, the Secretary of Energy. He's talking about how Trump is God's choice or God's chosen one. You've got Barr, the Attorney General, who's talking about the State of Israel as part of the end times or the... You know, I mean, so I'm not just really thinking about the White House in terms of the president and vice president, because If Trump goes, then all the other religious fundamentalist dominoes fall. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. And what I would also add is that, you know, when it comes to candidates and politicians, it's really important to look not just at their words, but also at their actions. And one thing that I'm really excited about, I understand for a lot of people that Joe Biden wasn't necessarily their first choice, but you're not just electing, you know, the candidate, although that's very important. You're electing you're looking at the platform and what they stand for and what they have said or have said they will do and what they actually have done. And one thing I'll point to that I'm really excited to share with your listeners is that thanks to the advocacy of Secular Democrats of America and on the other side, really a willingness to listen and include the non-religious in an unprecedented way in the Democratic Party, if you look at the platform, the DNC platform, for the first time, there are some really huge changes that we were able to get in there that I think show a willingness to actually address these issues. So, for example, the following line is now on the platform. Quote, Democrats believe that freedom of religion and the right to believe or not to believe are fundamental human rights. To my knowledge, that is the first acknowledgement of non-religious people that there has ever been in a DNC platform. They also, the following line, we reject the politicization of religious freedom in American foreign policy. And we condemn atrocities against religious minorities around the world. And then lists a number of pretty egregious cases, including the Yazidis and the Uyghurs in China, Burma's persecution of the Rohingya. They also say religious freedom is a core American value and a core value of the Democratic Party, which I think is particularly important because, you know, we know that the GOP talks a lot about religious freedom, but not from the perspective of religious freedom for people of all faiths and none. When you look at which party really seeks to be inclusive, the big tent is the Democratic Party, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the Republican Party, so, it's freedom of religion as long as it's Christianity, right? I mean, it's essentially the gist, so.
But Democrats really have, unfortunately, I think until now, I'd love to see more of this, haven't really talked much about religious freedom. They certainly talk about faith and different faith constituencies, but this is something new, I think, in recent years that we're seeing. And I think there's a lot more room to go. This is just one line in a platform. But I think it's really important for Democrats to think about how to reclaim religious freedom and restore its original meaning in kind of the public eye as we discuss it in our public discourse. And so I was really pleased to see that. And then this is the big one, right? So I'll read this to you. It says, it will be the policy of the Democratic administration to advocate for religious freedom throughout the world. Democrats celebrate America's history of pluralism and tolerance and recognize the countless acts of service of our faith communities, as well as the paramount importance of maintaining the separation between church and state enshrined in our Constitution. That is in the DNC platform. And so I think that, you know, you have to understand that the folks who decide on the platform, you know, certainly have a lot of, you know, there's nothing that's going to get in there that the Biden campaign is not aware of, right? You know, this is the nominee's platform in a lot of ways. And so to me, these are small steps, right? You know, and I guess, you know, to check myself, you know, these are the words and we have to see the actions, right, when we come past November. But I do think this is actually pretty significant. And I think that your listeners should definitely think about, you know, if we can get a seat at the table, get acknowledgement as non-religious folks that this party is going to protect the right to believe or not to believe. Have you heard any of that rhetoric come from the Republicans? Are you expecting it? Probably not. And so who's going to really stand up for the rights of the non-religious? Who's going to even entertain the idea of listening? I think it's a pretty clear choice.
Yeah, I mean, beyond the stop the bleeding sort of mentality that we have going toward November, it's, you know, which party has been discriminating against non-Christians, making them second-class citizens? You know, it's been the Republican Party. Which Party has been stacking the courts with activist judges and positions of power in the cabinet, etc., with these sort of religious activists. It's the Republican Party. Which president is pandering to a specific demographic in order to try to rally a base, because that's pretty much all he has left? It's the Republican Party and their president. And I think, you know, warts and all, flaws and all, it's the Democratic Party right now where I need to be focusing my attention. Tell me about Secular Democrats of America. What's the organization trying to do, and what's your end zone here?
Absolutely. So Secular Democrats of America really comes out of the initial grassroots efforts of secular Democrats in Texas. You might recall that in 2016, there was a secular caucus at the Texas Democratic Convention, the first of its kind. And in that very first year, that event was, you know, standing room only, 300 plus people, and with little to no marketing, which to me made clear that folks got their program when they came to the convention, saw Secular Caucus, and made a beeline for it, because Texas Democrats understand that Texas has a problem with church-state separation and how that impacts so many other issues that progressives in Texas care about. So we, that year, had gotten three planks or resolutions incorporated into the Texas Democratic Party platform that year, including a call for removing the religious test for office that's still on the books in the Texas state constitution. And so that effort blossomed into this larger movement to really empower Democrats to have a voice within the Democratic Party as secular voters, as secularist supporters, because, you know, in 2018, when it was the next convention after 2016 in Texas, I remember standing in front of the room and asking how many in the audience were people of faith, and half of the people raised their hand. Half of the people in that room came to a secular caucus, and a lot of the candidates that were featured were openly non-religious. Some of them were of faith, but it was really coming together of, you know, people who are saying, you know, whether you're a person of faith or you're non-religious, we can all agree that, first of all, separation of church and state is under attack, and we need a concerted effort by Democrats to push for a restoration of what religious freedom really means, and that, you know, that it means protecting all faiths and none, and freedom of and from religion, and not just privileging Christianity. And it also showed me that we have partners in the faith community who are willing to stand up and say, yes, there shouldn't be a religious test for office, either on the books or de facto, right? That, you know, we should be able to have candidates run as openly non-religious and that not be held against them. It shouldn't be viewed as a political liability. It should just be what it is, right? Because this is the Democratic Party. It's supposed to be the big tent. So what can we do to improve the space, right, to make sure that openly non-religious candidates are able to thrive, and that there are less candidates who feel like they have to fake it if they're, you know, and be inauthentic to themselves. Yes. And so that was really heartening to see that we have that kind of support.
Political suicide in the past to say that you're not, you know, you don't walk in and put your hand over your heart and talk about Sunday church and how you hold a specific faith. You know, they put it in their campaign commercials throughout the state of Oklahoma and Texas, Arkansas, et cetera. I want to come back to something you said just because I'm curious. The Texas state constitution has a provision requiring a religious faith, because I know the Constitution of the United States says there should be no religious test for public office. Did I hear that right?
You did hear that right. And it's one of, I believe, seven other states that also have it on the books. Now, you're correct that it is unconstitutional, and therefore these they're not enforceable. So I just want to make that clear. But, you know, there are a number of laws on the books that may not be enforceable, but they should be stricken, right? Because it's it's kind of like, you know, let's make clear where we stand here.
So they're vestiges of a previous era that have just sort of remained. But the symbolism of having them in the state constitution is important. Striking them is important. I get that.
Yes. And I want to go back to Texas for a second, because that was just the beginning of the story of sort of where we are today. You know, fast forward from 2016 to 2020, there is now a Secular Democrats of Texas, a Secular Democrats of Nebraska, both of which are official secular caucuses recognized by their state parties. And right now, as we speak, there are Democrats in Florida who are electing their leadership for a new Secular Democrats of Florida caucus that is up and coming. And so this is a growing movement. And so Secular Democrats of America really sprung out of the need to grow and support and empower and network all of these secular Dems that are organizing across the country. And that's culminating in our inaugural event this Tuesday, August 18th, from 2 to 4 Eastern, 1 to 3 Central, where we're going to have our very first event with the Democratic Convention. We're listed as a partner organization on their website. And the lineup we have is amazing. We've got a panel of lawmakers with Congressman Raskin, Congressman Huffman, who are the co-chairs of the Congressional Freethought Caucus. We've got Representative Athena Salmon, who's a state representative in Arizona. We've got Representative Carlos Guillermo Smith, a state representative from Florida. These are all champions of separation of church and state who are fighting for our values, and they'll all be on a panel talking about what it looks like to legislate religious freedom. Then we're going to have a conversation called Faith and Humanity, a conversation with Greg Epstein and Andrian. Greg Epstein is the humanist chaplain at MIT and Harvard, and Andrian is the writer, producer, and director of Cosmos, Possible Worlds. And then we have a panel that I'm personally really excited about, called Christian Nationalism and White Supremacy, which is going to address the intersection of both of those ideologies, both historically and how it's manifesting today. I thought it was really important that we, as the Democratic Party is addressing racial injustice and discussing policies for moving forward, that not only do they hear more about what Christian nationalism has to do with white supremacy and why it's important to be aware of the Christian nationalist movement as we address racial injustices, but also ensure that Black non-religious voices are heard in the conversation and certainly not erased. And so that lineup I'm really excited about. We've got Dr. Monica Miller, who is the Associate Professor of Religion and Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at Lehigh University. She's also a member of the Executive Board of the American Humanist Association. We've got Ashton P. Woods, who's the Chair of the Black Humanist Alliance, founder of Houston Black Lives Matter. And we've got Dr. Robert Jones, who is the founder and executive director of the Public Religion Research Institute. He's also the author of White Too Long, The Legacy of White Supremacy in American Christianity, which just came out. And he's also the author of The End of White Christian America, which is also a fantastic book. And so I'm really excited to see this panel unpack these ideologies, Christian nationalism, white supremacy. It's really not a conversation we're seeing very much, but there is more and more. We have experts like the panelists who are really bringing up this intersection. And I wanted to make sure, particularly at the Democratic Convention, where I know racial injustice is going to be a very central theme, that we don't miss this component of how Christian nationalism is part of that. And so if we're going to dismantle white supremacy, we also need to discuss how we're going to dismantle Christian nationalism.
Now, a lot of my viewers and listeners are going to catch this in archive after this event has taken place. So I have to ask, will it be available to watch after the fact for somebody who wants
absolutely,
to go?
Absolutely. Okay. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch it live for folks who are going to hear
this. Well, I'll get the word out for
definitely
sure.
Definitely tune in. And the reason being, because showing up for this event is going to have a symbolic meaning as well. It's showing the Democratic Party that if you give non-religious Democrats a space to organize and to have a voice, that they will show up. And that's really important, because showing up shows that we are an engaged constituency of voters, that the Democratic Party, that every party should be thinking about, how can we do outreach to these folks? How can we get them excited? What is it that, what issues do we need to engage on to get them excited about our campaign? And one way to do that is to get on the radar by showing up in great numbers. So I really hope that folks will join us for that event on Tuesday.
Okay, where do I, is it seculardems.org to link up to that?
Yes, you can go to seculardems.org and click on events at the top. You can also go to,
pull it up, we'll wait, no problem.
demconvention.com, and then you click on schedule, and then you click on check out more events, and then you click on Democratic National Convention coalitions and partner organizations schedule of events. You can also just go to our Facebook page, Secular Democrats of America, or follow us on @SecularDems on Twitter, and you'll see us promoting the event.
Okay, lots of ways to hook up. Watch it live if you can. And, you know, I think it's inevitable. We've been talking about the fact that our elected officials are more and more simply going to reflect the culture. So as the culture becomes less and less religious, those who represent the culture are going to be less and less religious, but it's not going to happen automatically. And the evangelicals will not go quietly, right? They're seeing sort of this bleeding of privilege and power. They're panicking. They're selling fear to people. They're trying to lock the door and make the rest of us second-class citizens. So instead of watching it happen from the wings, we need to get out, participate. And one way to participate is to involve yourself with Secular Democrats of America. How do you like that slug? How'd I do with that, Sarah? Is that pretty good for you?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I will say, I think one of the most dangerous things I've ever heard said by non-religious folks is that the country's becoming more secular just on its own. So things will just eventually work out and change. And that's just so not true. I mean, you have so many examples today of the American people being pretty united on one issue, like, I don't know, say liking the post office, and the policy being the opposite, right? That you're having a demographic advantage is definitely a good thing, but it means nothing if you don't actually take advantage of it. Things don't just happen on their own just because you have large numbers. There's so many examples of large numbers of people and whole communities being marginalized despite their large numbers, because you have to be active as voters. You have to be, and it's, we do have good signs that the turnout of the non-religious is getting a little better, but we are still not proportionate to the size of our population in the United States coming out in the numbers that we could. And if we did, it would mean millions of votes. It would actually make a huge difference. And voting is just the baseline here. At Secular Democrats of America, we're really going straight to where the decisions are made, right? We're working with folks who are on the inside with the Democratic Party as activists, doing all the things that progressives do, but bringing their secular, non-religious identity in with them. I think there's this really interesting problem we have where we have non-religious folks in progressive circles who don't bring their secularist principles with them in that activism, and then vice versa. We have non-religious folks involved in the secular community who do have these progressive values but aren't really getting involved in the Democratic Party. And so we want to make sure that those identities are being, when appropriate, obviously you don't go to an atheist group and make it about partisanship, but you do want to bring that identity with you, because it really makes a difference. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to secular Dems who are like, gosh, I just never had I always had these values, but I didn't know how to communicate them to the party. I didn't know how to go about it. And what we're doing at Secular Democrats of America is just giving them the tools to bring their full identity with them and have that manifest in a really impactful way. And what you said earlier about the demographics, I also want to really point out that not only do we have partners in a lot of the progressive faith community who align with us on these issues, but you know, the religiously unaffiliated is not a monolith. It's not like, you know, one in four Americans are unaffiliated. That doesn't mean they're all atheists. Not by no means are they all atheists. You know, about a third of them are don't believe in God, and then the other two thirds are everywhere. The other two thirds are everywhere from spiritual but not religious to unattached believers, which means, you know, believers who aren't affiliated with the denomination. But what I've been saying for years, and want to repeat here, is that when it comes to issues, the unaffiliated is more in agreement on issues than the white evangelicals. So if you compare sort of how much we agree with each other on certain issues, even on things like abortion, the unaffiliated as a whole are more in agreement than white evangelicals are on the same issues. So for example, 72% of secular voters support a legal right to abortion, 82% support same-sex marriage, 73% say that immigrants make American society stronger. You know, this and on, right? So the point being that you don't have to be non-religious. You don't even have to be, you can be an unattached believer, right, in part of this kind of big pot of unaffiliated folks. And you can be not part of that religiously unaffiliated, but a believer who aligns with our values. And if you add all of that up and unite folks around the issues that we care about, all of which tie back to separation of church and state and making sure that we don't have an administration or lawmakers imposing a very specific and narrow set of beliefs over others and over non-religion, we have a powerful voting bloc right there that agree on the issues. We just need to vocalize that and make it clear that, you know, that we have political alignment across beliefs and across, you know, kind of the diversity of non-belief and unaffiliated.
That's an interesting and I think salient point. I mean, there are a lot of religious people who get state church separation. Right? The government is not a church. Religion and religious faith is a private endeavor, an independent exercise. And so even as well, there are pastors and, you know, their churches who are defending state church separation in that way, we are allies with them to defend the Constitution. So I really appreciate and take your point about the fact that there are so many of us out there who have that in common and we should be joining together. Sarah Levin, Program Director for Secular Democrats of America. You can see why I wanted to talk to her, because she's just so freaking well-spoken. And the event is Tuesday. You can watch it live, and you should, or in archive, seculardems.org. Sarah, thanks so much for your time. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter for a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring The Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming free thought events and conventions. Log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.
A reminder that if you're interested in pursuing understanding about part of the American culture that really does think we are a Christian nation and why they think it, check out my new book, Confessions of a Former Fox News Christian, available now in paperback and hardcover. All the details and your purchase links are at SethAndrews.com.